Hello, FTR State of Freight podcast listeners, and welcome to the first of many rail market updates. The State of Freight podcast is where we share timely transportation intelligence with you on a weekly basis. The rail market update will be brought to you each week by FTR's Vice President of Rail and Intermodal, Todd Trinowski. Each week, the podcast will bring you the latest news and indicators to keep you informed on the latest transportation intelligence. As this information is presented, you are welcome to follow along and look at the graphs and indicators yourself by downloading the PDF of the presentation from our podcast landing page. To download the PDF, simply go to www.ftrintel.com/podcast. As always, we'd love to hear from you if you have any thoughts or feedback about the podcast. Tell us what you love about it or what you would like to see improved by emailing us at podcast@ftrintel.com. And here's Todd.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us on this week's edition of the FTR Rail Podcast, where we try to give you a sense of what's going on in the marketplace and what to expect for all of you that move freight by rail. You know, we're into earnings season, and so there's a lot to talk about as the carriers start to report some metrics and start to talk through where they expect their business to go. We talked last week about some economic slowing that's occurring and some economic slowing that's occurring in the economic metrics that we track, the Purchasing Manager Index, the Small Business Sentiment Index, and those things are all still true, but some other indicators that came out this week have shown some real sense that maybe the economy is not going to turn down as sharply as we might have thought. But at the same time, despite that being the case, some of the changes that we've seen with the railroads in their outlook for certain types of businesses, particularly intermodal, and particularly their outlook for pricing for intermodal, you know, could be a headwind. And we've certainly started to move down our expectations for that as we look forward, not just because of the economy, but also because of the overall freight environment, the overall outlook for rail intermodal. You know, there were some comments on earnings calls already in the earnings season about interline carriers not being as willing to participate in long-haul intermodal moves, particularly from Mexico over interchange points, and then that's going to be a headwind to growth. There was a comment by a major intermodal shipper at a rail conference earlier this year that the changes to date have cost about 1% of total domestic container volume. And to the extent these continue and these ratchet up, that we see the railroads be more aggressive in terms of shedding intermodal lanes that don't generate the operating ratio that they feel like they should, that they feel like they need to generate in a precision scheduled railroading environment, you know, we could see additional headwinds to growth, and we've reflected that in our latest expectations. If you read the intermodal report, you'll see that in this month's report. If you look at the dashboard, you'll see a definite slowing of expectations for growth. It doesn't turn negative, but we've definitely seen our expectations come down, and they've come down from where we were to begin the year even. Now, you can see, if you look at the overall intermodal loadings, they've been weak, you know, and a lot of that's weather related in the first quarter. We've come back to start the second quarter, but we have not returned to the growth rates that we saw even at the beginning of this year in the 4%, 5%, 6% range. We're still sort of floating around flat, and definitely if you look at a headwind to getting back to the levels we saw last year and even earlier this year, as the railroads continue to be aggressive and continue to look at ways to generate increasing yield off the intermodal business, you know, that's going to be a headwind, particularly with the truck market loosening up compared to what shippers saw in 2018. You know, they're able to get a truck now, and so that allows truck to be more competitive. That allows truckers to come in and compete for intermodal in lanes that maybe they couldn't last year or wouldn't in years prior, that now they can do, and with all the product that's been in warehouses near port complexes, you know, that is now jump ball freight. It does not necessarily have to move intermodal in a loosening truck environment. And it's not loose historically speaking. If you look back 5-10 years, we're not in a loose truck market, but we are loose comparatively compared to what shippers became accustomed to in 2018. In terms of it being very difficult to find a truck and being very difficult to get contracted loads moved. And so rail intermodal was an attractive solution last year. And if you look at FTR's Intermodal Conditions Index, that's certainly reflected in our expectations for the index this year, to sort of trade around, you know, a neutral environment, to not have that competitive advantage for intermodal that we have seen in 2018 and in times prior. You know, the container side of the intermodal business has basically paralleled the overall loadings picture. If you're moving in containers, it's basically, you know, your growth rates have paralleled overall intermodal. You know, in the trailer segment, you'll remember last week we talked about trailers holding up well, comparatively speaking. Well, as we look at things now, you know, we're starting to see some expected deterioration in how trailer volumes have held up. We're in a period year in the year-ago comparisons where this time in 2018, because of the tightness in the trucking market that was prevalent and an inability to get domestic containers because people were using intermodal to try and bridge the gap created by the trucking market tightness, the trailer market in 2018 was up 20-25% year over year. Now we're starting to give more of that back. Last week I talked about us giving back 5-10%. We've taken another step down, and now we're in the 10-15% down range. And I would expect that level to continue as we lap these comparisons, these strong year-over-year comparisons, you know, for much of the next 5 months of the year. The comparisons really don't ease for trailer until you get into the fourth quarter. So I would expect to see trailers show the kind of 10-15% weakness that we've seen in the last week or so to continue for much of the rest of the year. You know, the trailer market, we've looked for this decline for a long time, and it kind of hung in there, hung in around flat to start the year, went down a little bit with the weather issues, but didn't really step down significantly until recently, and we expect now that step down to continue. So you're in the trailer market, expect to see some pressure to move back over to containers if that's more optimal for your freight. The railroads have tried recent years to price folks into moving in containers as opposed to trailers, and now it is all of a sudden a market where that can happen, and it can happen pretty quickly and pretty efficiently. And we're seeing a little bit of that as well in some of the numbers. Service, I said it last week. You've heard me say it once. You've heard me say it 100 times. You know, service is king in this business. And to this point, the railroads really haven't provided the type of service that you would expect. You know, a lot of that's been weather-related with the regional variations of Western railroads being hit dramatically with all of the flooding that we saw across some of the pictures that are out online of rail infrastructure and just infrastructure in general out in the upper Midwest being devastated by the flooding out there. It's going to take a while for the Western railroads to sort of regain their momentum there. You know, it's going to take some time to get there and to get that fully restored back to where they were prior to all of the weather events. In the East, we talked about this last week, the railroads have recovered very well from sort of a what was for the Eastern carriers a momentary couple of week issue with severe winter weather and severe cold and snow up in the upper Midwest. Then they've recovered nicely and continue to recover in the Eastern U.S., which provides a little bit of an opportunity to go after some of the more competitive intermodal and merchandise freight that's out there. But to this point, we have not seen people be able to take advantage of that. Part of that is pricing. There were comments, you heard me reference it off the top of the show, that the carriers have talked about market-based pricing in their earnings calls for intermodal. Well, market-based pricing, a good ceiling has historically been the truck market. And I think at least until the railroads are able to demonstrate consistently to shippers that they're able to deliver reliable service, which to this point we really haven't seen, truck markets are going to continue to be a cap on intermodal pricing because the value proposition to the shipper just isn't there. You know, if the railroads were able to change their service offerings, were able to improve their service offerings, then you would see shippers, I believe, come back to intermodal and be willing to pay a premium to those truck prices, but the railroads have to be able to deliver, have to be able to demonstrate their service offering, and we're just not there yet. I think we're moving in that direction, but we're not there yet, and we're not close to being there. So I think for the foreseeable future, truck price is going to continue to be a cap on how much the carriers are able to raise their intermodal rates, and only time will tell whether the carriers take the approach of being willing to demonstrate service for shippers, to demonstrate the value proposition, or if they simply cut and run and abandon some of those lanes that don't meet the operating ratio, that don't meet the sort of profitability targets that they have set in the wake of an operating ratio focused environment. But that said, we've spent a lot of time so far on intermodal. Let's delve in a little bit to the carload sectors. You know, we've seen some improvement in carload markets from the depths of the flooding. You know, we're now on an overall carload basis, we're above the five-year average. We're above where we would expect to be historically, but we're still down year over year. We're still down about 2% compared to where we were at the same time in 2018. That marked a period of a little over 2% growth. So what that essentially means is we're back close to where we were a couple of years ago in the carload markets. We really haven't seen upward momentum, and we're still looking for a catalyst in a lot of these markets to drive volume growth higher. Coal has been a major drag. There's no way around that. Coal, yes, it's in secular decline. Yes, it is going to continue to decline, but it's still a major source and a major driver of momentum in the carload market. And you can see we've come back and rallied from where we were at the depths of the flooding, when we were down around 75,000 carloads a week. It's been a long time, if ever, that we were down at that sort of a level for coal volumes, but we've started to make our way back in the last 2 weeks and move our way back toward 82,000-83,000 coal carloads per week, which is better than we were, but we're still down about 5% year over year, still well below the five-year average, and I would expect to continue to trend that way for the balance of the year, because more than 50% of all the electricity generation scheduled for retirement this year, according to the Energy Information Administration, is coal-fired generation, and there are other units in the out years as we look out to 2020, 2021, and 2022 that are under consent decrees with the Environmental Protection Agency or state environmental agencies to be retired. So this number for coal is going to continue to be a headwind for the foreseeable future, and a lot of the carriers have talked about on their earnings calls, particularly the Eastern Railroads, about how export coal, which has supported overall coal volume for the last 12 to 18 months, is expected to weaken over the back half of 2019 because of lower global coal prices. If you look at the benchmark price for coal in the global markets, the API2 index price, it is forecast to weaken as we go forward. The United States has always been a swing supplier of coal to global markets, so as that index goes down, it makes it less and less economical for U.S. producers to deliver into global markets. Moving to a bright spot, let's look at chemicals. You know, there was a lot of concern, a lot of discussion about the chemicals marketplace about a month ago, about whether it was signaling an economic downturn of a quick fashion. For the latter half of 2019. It turns out that a lot of that looks to be weather-related at this point. We've turned back positive year over year. We've turned back above the five-year average in a strong, strong way in the last couple of weeks. It looks like the chemicals business is really going strong as we start to lap the flooding issues that really dented the Western carriers' ability to move chemicals goods, or really any type of good, across much of the middle part of the country. A big part of the chemicals rebound has been petroleum products. It similarly got down in the depths of the flooding to about a 10% year-over-year growth rate, which was low for this commodity type. You say 10% growth, that's pretty good. That was down to start the year above 30% year-over-year growth, so it definitely saw a significant hit from the flooding, but now we're back above 20% year-over-year growth, actually heading toward 25% year-over-year growth in recent weeks. However, I will caution you that that level of year-over-year growth is bound to flatten out a little bit as we go forward here. The comparisons for this commodity group get worse as the year goes on, particularly as we get into the summer, as we get into the July 4th holiday period. The comparisons really stiffen in the year-ago period. It's going to be really hard for this commodity sector to continue to post those kind of dramatic increases in volume growth, but they do have some measures of support. Mexican refined products continue to be a source of growth. Kansas City Southern talked about that particularly on their earnings call earlier this week, about the driving impact that Mexican energy reform, particularly petroleum products volumes, have had on their business, and that's expected to continue to be the case. But we're also going to see some of the Permian Basin crude that has moved by rail. Pipeline projects in the region are going to come online over the next couple of months and pull those volumes back to the pipeline that is cheaper and more efficient for producers. And that's going to pull some of those volumes away and provide a headwind to growth in this sector right as we get into the period where we're year-over-year comparisons get increasingly difficult. So we'll have to watch this as we go forward to see exactly what the impact is and how dramatic it is. The grain markets, obviously grain is produced in the middle of the country. A lot of the same areas that were very hard hit by the flooding, and we definitely saw that with volumes down 10% year over year. We've worked our way back to flat on a year-over-year basis, but on a five-year average basis, in the last 3 weeks, we've moved dramatically above the five-year average and are starting to plateau this week, but still at a significant increase from where we would expect to be historically, about 2,000 carloads per week, which in the springtime, when it's not a harvest, is a significant amount of volume to be ahead of where you would expect to be historically. So that's a good news story as we get back to normal on the rail network. On the automotive side, we saw a little bit of a bump in the last couple of weeks on the back of a strong sales annual rate going up above 17 million carloads for the cars sold for the full year. But it's sort of quickly come back down to about flat in the latest week. And we're right on the five-year average. If you look at this commodity group, we're basically right at its five-year average. I would expect we'll remain there until we get to the summer in July, right about the time that we hear about plant shutdowns and plants changing over for the new model year. We have some significant year-over-year comparisons in 2018 that we have to lap. So we could see some pressure on this commodity group as we head into the middle of the year. We know many of you are starting the construction season in the Midwest, a little bit of a late start because of all the rain and all the flooding. We've started to see lumber and wood look a lot better than they did just a month ago. Sort of in the throes of the flooding, they were down almost 10% year over year. Now we've turned positive. We're basically right on the five-year average. It looks like we're getting to a normal home building season, a normal construction season. We'll see if that continues as we get into May. Like a lot of other commodity sectors, we have a stiff comparison as we get into the middle part of the year, and we'll have to see how this commodity sector holds up. The pulp and paper markets, recently, they have been a bad news story for the railroads. This is a sector where the railroads have a definitive advantage because of their ability to haul more weight in a boxcar than you can haul in an over-the-road trailer. And so you would expect the pulp and paper markets to be good for the railroads, particularly with corrugated demand for all those e-commerce packages, all those Amazon packages that we all get shipped to our door. I just had two delivered today. In fact, that's all cardboard, that's all corrugated paper that needs to be moved, but we really haven't seen that. We've seen a significant downturn, particularly in the last few weeks. In the latest week, we're down over 6%. Of course, that's the Easter week. That could be an outlier. Even before that, we were down about 4%. So still not a great environment for pulp and paper. And you can see on the blue line, we've moved down from our five-year average. We're moving down and away from our five-year average. So not only are we below the five-year average, but we're increasing that delta between where we would expect to be and where we actually are. This is a number that is going to have to change and could be a catalyst for additional merchandise volumes, could be a real opportunity for railroads to pull volumes onto their networks to the extent that it makes sense for them to do so. So some key takeaways. The intermodal markets definitely have a little bit of a hangover as we've gotten into second quarter. They really have sort of stumbled out of the gate here in the first 3 weeks. We'll have to see if that turns around. We would hope it would. We would expect it to. But really, that's a decision that the carriers are going to have to make in terms of service lane cutbacks and overall service levels. To now that the truck is more competitive with rail intermodal, they're going to have to demonstrate to shippers their value proposition. Particularly if they're going to raise rates, they're going to have to demonstrate how they are more reliable or more consistent than truck, which is a tall order in an environment where truck can be very competitive. There are definitely challenges in the carload sector, but there are also opportunities. Coal is going to be a drag. It's going to be a drag everybody knows about. It is going to affect the overall carload number. It's going to be a headwind to its growth, but you've got opportunities in sectors like pulp and paper and in terms of lumber and wood that make a lot of sense and are a lot of opportunity, a lot of upside potential for the railroads and for shippers if the railroads can provide the sort of service. Again, it all comes back to service that shippers expect and that carriers have talked about being able to provide and wanting to provide to shippers. You know, coal is going to be a headwind, but it's overcomable if the railroads are able to generate additional volumes in a bunch of these other merchandise sectors to try and at least offset the coal volume decline a little bit. It probably won't get all the way there, but it could be a decent first step, a decent head start. And that's really what we need to think about as we head over the next week is, you know, what are the railroads doing to improve their service product? What can shippers expect? And sort of what kinds of growth, what ability for growth is there in some of these jump ball commodity types, like pulp and paper, particularly, like auto parts, where it can move in a multiple different ways. You know, what are the railroads going to do and what are shippers going to demand that railroads do in order to get a bigger and bigger share of that business? And with that, that's it for this week. We'll talk to you again next week. We hope everybody has a great week, and feel free to reach out to us at any point here at FTR. Myself or any one of our team can help you with any of your logistics and rail-related questions that you may have. Feel free to reach out, and have a great week. Bye for now.
That's it for this week's Rail Market Update on the State of Freight podcast. The Rail Market Update will be published each week along with a PDF download of the presentation graphs and slides. If you find this transportation intelligence useful, please take a moment to give us a positive rating on iTunes and Stitcher, and send us your feedback by email at podcast@ftrintel.com. We are also currently publishing a trucking market update with FTR's Avery Weiss. Be sure to spread the word about both the rail and trucking podcast with colleagues. You can find the most recent episodes of both podcasts and all of the downloads by going to www.ftrintel.com/podcast. FTR is the leader in freight transportation forecasting in North America, providing consistently reliable reports for trucking, rail, and intermodal transportation, as well as providing demand analysis for commercial vehicle and rail car. For more information about the work of FTR, visit www.ftrintel.com or call 888-988-1699 to find out which publications will best support your business.